looking for different answers. It always feels like they're broken, or always feels like they need to fix somebody. They're always going outside of themselves. They need more answers. I talk about this when it comes to psychedelics and plant medicine. People always want different answers to chase the different experiences. They want to read more books because they don't feel what they know is right. They read a whole book on sales, but they don't feel that's right. They're going to read another one. And that's part of the personal development thing, is like, they want you to always feel like you don't, like you're kind of broken in a way. Like, yes, we're not broken, man. Like, we just need to realize, like, hey, you know what? I think there's seasons. There's time to learn. There's time to absorb. There's time to apply. There's time to apply it, right? You can only consume so much before it's like, all right, what am I going to do? Let's go into action, right?
Welcome, everyone, to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, we can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. I am here with Lance Isios. Lance, how are you today, man?
Good, brother. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm excited for this.
Dude, I'm pumped up. You are also a podcast host, but a little bit bigger than mine. You're a top 50 ranked podcast, University of Adversity. This is just a list of names of people I know, business, personal development, but Dean Grazioso, Kevin Harrington, Grant Cardone, Elena Cardone, Amberly Lago, Dan Fleischman, Tucker Max, just to name a few. So obviously you've had everyone on the show from, you know, athletes to business people. And now you're on my show, man. So it's just my job to try to, you can be that bridge where we can extract some information from them. But in addition, I want to get to know your story. So long intro, long story short, I want you to explain to the audience exactly who you are, what you do, what do you believe in. Tell us a little bit about Lance.
Yeah, so my story, I mean, there's a couple different layers, but, you know, over the years, I kind of had different dynamics. I started out, I was a hockey player, then a bartender, and then eventually a podcaster, entrepreneur. There's a lot of, been through a lot of shit. Obviously, you know, just like anybody, been through a lot of different things, but I've been able to work through them and kind of get to where I am today. And a lot of the stuff around my past is kind of what inspired me to start University of Adversity and to write my book, Master of Adversity, that I'm working on. And I guess that's kind of been the theme. It's just my life of navigating through the different experiences and the different ups and downs that adversity has brought. And now being able to interview and have these conversations about people's stories and pull them out and share them and give people tangible tools, tips, resources that they can use to, you know, bridge the gap from where they are to taking the first step in the right direction and being able to change their perspective on adversity that's in front of them. That's really been my mission and my goal, is to, you know, facilitate that personal growth and transformation with people. And I like to really do my best to resonate with people on a level that actually helps them take action in their life and actually helps them move through their shit. So there's a lot of layers we can go into, whatever you want, but Yeah, right now, you know, that's kind of what I'm working on. I've sort of taken my story and, you know, learned what I've done along the way to get to where I am today. And now here we are. So it's been a long journey, but it's been very rewarding as well.
I want to walk through your story because same here, man. I've been through a lot of shit myself. And, you know, we all have, whether it's something that's horribly traumatic. And I just had Brian Bogert on the show. He had his arm sliced off in an accident. And he basically said this, that, you know, he has a unique story, but he realizes that we all have unique stories. And what I'm learning more and more is I can learn more from the story and the struggle than the cliche or the bullet point or the short explanation. So I do want you to take your time and kind of walk through some of your adversities. You said you're a hockey player, you're a bartender. So you've obviously lived multiple lives, multiple hats. Where in your life has adversity came up? And just walk through a little bit of what it taught you.
Well, what I can think back to where it all really started was when I was 11, I had to choose between living with my dad and my mom, and I decided with my dad. So we moved across the country. I moved away from my mom and all the family that was living there. And I come from a family that had a lot of love, but it was a lot of emotional stress, a lot of like deep-rooted trauma. And my parents split up, so that was my first run-in, is like what that actually felt like. And it was really painful. You know, like sickening painful. And, you know, along that, during that time, my dad met a woman with four kids who was just your typical woman from hell right out of the movies. She tormented our family for, you know, years and years, which, you know, eventually led to the suicide of my younger brother, which we'll get into. But, and, you know, potentially the death of my dad. So, during my teenage years, there was a lot of shit that I was trying to figure out. And there's a lot of deep-rooted trauma that I was trying to work through that I didn't even really know until now when I look back. And as you go along and you heal in this journey, you know, you don't know until you look back where you've gone through it, understand the tendencies that you had and the behaviors that you had, and why you did it, and whatever.
Lance, just give us one example of that, like a tendency or a behavior that was reoccurring in your life during this time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I was going to get into was,
oh, go ahead.
I was, once I found alcohol was something that allowed me to really distract myself from the root of what I was hiding from, essentially. And because of the pain that I was feeling for so many years as a teenager and a young man, alcohol was like something that allowed me to be able to create a new persona for myself, somebody that could escape and just be a different person. And you know, that eventually led me into working in the bar industry for many years. And just looking back and unpacking it now, I just realized how much I was distracting myself from the pain and the trauma that I had. And you see this a lot in life. A lot of people are, you know, distracted and they're, you know, whatever addictions they have that week or that month or that year. The world is addicted to stimulation. The world's addicted to alcohol, to sugar, to sex. There's a lot of addictions out there. And mine was alcohol. But as I started to heal a lot of that deep wounding, that trauma, that pain, the less I realized that I really needed alcohol. And you know, that has been a journey. That has been my thing. That has always been a back and forth, is that it's always that thing that kind of is, it grabs me. I'll be up and then it'll grab me. It'll bring me down. And it's been like that for years. I'm at a point now in my life where I'm very in control of it, but it's been something over the years that it was just to numb the feeling and the pain that I was going through. And, you know, while I was, you know, during all this, this time when I was living in Australia, you know, working, you know, we lost my younger brother and my dad. My brother, you know, killed himself when he was 18. And then my dad got cancer within like a year of that. So that was another level that I had to deal with. So there was just these different levels and different situations that I've had to face. And alcohol was always one of those things that kind of distracted me from feeling it. And, but like you said, we all go through pain. We all go through hard times. And, you know, for me, alcohol was just something that allowed me to be able to numb and escape from feeling that situation head on.
Do you feel like you were able to 100% escape, or did you sidestep into something else? Like what did you replace alcohol with? Did you replace it with something positive, or did you run into some roadblocks in, you know, that sobriety and trying to replace it with something? Because yeah, when you have trauma, when you have pain, and alcohol does such a great job numbing it, what happens when you stop?
Yeah, it's a great question. I when I went sober for a year in 2017, absolutely. You have to, habits are about, you know, if you want to break a bad habit, you got to replace it with something else. And for me, it was just, I was doing a lot of meditation and practicing gratitude, and I was working out. And as I started to get sober, it just felt less and less like something that was aligned with what I was doing. Because if I had fitness goals and I wanted to feel good, then like, I didn't want to be hungover. Like, and I wanted to feel good. So that kind of builds on each other, right? And I think also, if you have goals and you have a business and you have things to do and your schedule's full and you have a lot of activities and you want to go to the gym, you just don't have, there's just no room for it, right? And I find whenever I drink or I go back into that, it's when I have too much time off, when I have too much downtime. Because then it's like, well, I'll just do what everybody else is doing. You know, I'm living in Mexico right now. Nice. And the first month I was here, it was like really easy to just, oh, well, everybody's doing it. Let's just, you know. And I was like, wait a minute. There's too much. I have too much time. I'm not filling my schedule. Because I like to give myself a little bit of break here and there. But I realized, I was like, the more time I have off, the more time I have to get away from my goals, the more time I feel aligned with what I'm doing, which means it's easier for me to drink. Versus I'm here, I got my morning routine, I'm keeping the promises with myself, I'm building the confidence, I have the discipline, you know, I have more work to do. It's like, I don't want to drink. I don't have, and if I do, it's very casual. It's not. So that's the difference. I really think, like, if you have a purpose and you have a deep why and you have things that are more important than the alcohol, well, then those take precedent. So I think that's a big point for people listening. And if they're struggling with anything like that, it's like, well, how clear are you on what you actually want in your life? Because if you're allowing alcohol to get in the way, then you're actually not as committed as you probably want to be, or you probably think you are. Because nothing should get in the way of what you want to do, right? Not alcohol, not drugs, not anything.
So we all choose our poison. You know this, whether it's the alcohol, the drugs, the sex, the obsession with television, maybe the binge watching of Netflix,
phones,
phones is a huge one. Virtually everyone's listening to this and they're thinking to myself, "Ah, yeah, I need to cut down on this. I do this too much." What's the first move? What's the first step to get away from this adversity, to fight through this pain and ultimately have the will to actually get it done and move to in the right direction?
With alcohol specifically,
we can, I would start, say, yeah, your story. So
I would say, first of all, it's always awareness. Like, you got to understand like what you're doing. And I would say, if somebody wants to quit drinking alcohol, then you need to remove yourself from the environment where that alcohol is around, at least for a while. And you need to get it out of your house. You just need to get away from it. And second, I would say to really pay attention to moving your body, like really get yourself a physical, like an exercise practice where you're sweating every day. And third, cut out all the junk foods, all the shit that causes cravings. You know, a lot of people don't realize like a lot of alcohol is, a lot of it is like a sugar craving, sugar addiction, and it's like a blood sugar thing. And if you're eating a ton of sugar and you're eating a ton of shitty ass foods that, like fast foods that have these bad oils and that cause food cravings, you're not doing yourself any favors. You know, like, you know, eating pizza and eating these like really poor carbohydrates, it's going to keep you craving things. It's going to keep you out of feeling satisfied. So whenever I know that I need to clean up and I need to go completely sober for a while, that's what I do. I just go, all right, enough is enough. And, you know, I've been through this many times over, and I suggest this to people. If you have a situation, get away from it, get rid of it altogether, remove yourself for a few weeks, start moving your body, start sweating, and really be mindful at eating real foods and cut out the shit. You do that consistently for a couple weeks, you're going to start to not, you're not going to have the cravings for it. That's the simplest thing I can say. And, you know, pay attention to how you feel. Get out a journal and ask, you know, and journal out how you feel. You know, start practicing gratitude. Start like really, really focusing on what you do have versus what you don't. Because a lot of times people use alcohol as an escape, right? They use it as, I feel bad about myself, so I'm going to go and drink. And it's a lot of times it's just a shift in perspective. Like, do I really want to drink, or am I escaping? What am I actually doing here? And I'm not knocking. Alcohol is whatever. It's your own journey, right? Alcohol can be fine for some people, but some people like to deny that they have a problem with it, and it's like, you know, destroying their life. And I just think sometimes those simple actions can really eliminate the cravings for it. And after a while, you're able to put yourself into an environment that can be around alcohol and not need to drink. But this is all a personal thing. This is my own, this is what I do. Not to say this would work for everybody, but that's really the response of the body. If you're not sweating, you're not exercising, then you're not going to crave good foods. You're just going to just be like, that's the thing. You got to really get your body to that point where you feel good, where you don't want to destroy it with alcohol. Like, you want to feel good. And when you get into that groove and you're not eating out every night and you're eating at home, you start to feel better. You have less food cravings, which means you have less cravings for alcohol. So it's a bit of a long answer to your question, but I think it's like, it's really important for people. Like, it can be that simple to get that shit out of your life and move in a different direction.
It does seem like it is that simple. And as you get that momentum, as you start feeling better, you don't want it anymore. I might misquote you, but you basically said, you know, do I really want to drink, or am I just escaping? And you can take that word. I've had alcoholism issues myself in the past, so I relate with you entirely, Lance. But even if it's not alcohol, replace that word. Do I really want to have sex with 10 people that I care nothing about? Do I really want to watch 10 hours of Netflix today? Or am I just escaping from something else? And I think you made a good point about being healthy in your body, journaling, gratitude, and seeing that you probably are just escaping. Now, go ahead. Do you have something you want to throw in?
Yeah, no, I think when we're at our highest level of energy and vibration, I feel like we don't want to do that. Mm. I think if we're at a level that, I feel sometimes drinking can be a very low level vibration. I feel like we're more inclined to drink when we're not really aligned or feeling on top of our game, you know? Not always. I mean, sometimes we like to reward ourselves with alcohol if we're feeling great. But like, you're right though. Like it's distracting. You know, I talk about one of these archetypes that we talk about in my book. And one of them is a distractor. And it's the escaping of feeling the moment. And sometimes, even if it's not something negative, like if you're overwhelmed with a lot of work, like say you have a lot going on, like say you're killing it in business, say you're doing all this, you got lots of pressures. It's all good things, but sometimes it's a lot. And sometimes it's like, whoa, okay, how do I process this energy? What do I do with this? And sometimes it's easier to just go and drink a couple of beers.
Oh yeah.
Right. And, but sometimes it's more challenging to sit with it and go, all right, you know, what is this? Journal on it. Like, what is actually, like, what am I feeling? What am I avoiding? Like, what's true to me? Like, what is this? Like, really reflecting. I don't think a lot of us really sit and reflect and contemplate and give ourselves the space that we need to really feel things. We live in a society where everything is just, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. It's like on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to do because that's we're programmed. Right. But I think if we can really get good at feeling that discomfort and sitting through it, whether that's through meditation or that's just sitting, and whether that's journaling, whether that's meditating, whatever, then we allow it to actually process and give it the space, right? And I think that has a lot to do with just the society and just like how everything is always going so fast, right? It's like things just move all the time.
It's insightful, and these are half-baked thoughts on my end because I hadn't really thought about it, but us as humans, as beings, were you really meant to go this fast? Were you really meant to have all the stimuli and, you know, dopamine hits coming from everywhere, whether it's the phone or the TV? Or weren't we meant to forage for food and water and sit alone and not meditate per se? That's just life. Sitting in silence was just life. These again are half-baked thoughts because I hadn't really thought about this till you brought it up, Lance. It's we have so much stimuli that even the calmest of us end up with shiny object syndrome. Now, how do we get past that? It's a toughie.
Yeah, I don't think that we are designed for this. I think that, you know, for so many years, decades, centuries, things were a lot slower paced. And we definitely didn't have the stimulation that we do every day in our brains, blue light, you know, all this artificial light. It's not natural. And there's also consumerism where you're just not, you need this to be whole. You need this, or you're just not the guy or the girl. Like, you need this. And it's just, I think it plays on people's insecurities. I think they know the big companies, they know all this stuff, right? And they know that if they push the right buttons, that people will, out of insecurities and fear, purchase things and do things. And mm-hmm. Do it. They don't want people to sit there and heal themselves. Then they don't make money, right? I mean, it's a fact. Like, us as humans are so resilient and so powerful. Like, we are really amazing creatures. And a lot of people don't even realize it. And they'll live their whole life without knowing how powerful and resilient they are. And I'm not like, you know, pitching a rah, rah, rah thing here. I'm saying like, we don't know how powerful we are. And we take away our own power and give our power away all the fucking time. We see it all the time. It's like we don't value our own opinions. We think other people value their opinion matters more. We don't take the time to think like, maybe I know this. Maybe this is right. Like, why, you know, and we don't take the time to say, what is true to me? Am I living in truth or am I living someone else's story? And that's the thing. And that comes from not slowing down enough. Like you said, like that comes from not giving yourself time to process. And it's going from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing. Oh, I need this. I'm looking at that. And no wonder people are all over the place, right? No wonder people need these stimulants and these like external things to give them validation, because they haven't had time to sit with themselves and reflect, because everything's moving, especially now with the world. Everything's changing so fast. You know, you got NFTs all of a sudden, or every, like last year, this wasn't even a thing, man. It's like insane how fast things are moving. And you just gotta like buckle up.
The world's still spinning at the same tempo with or without NFTs. The world actually isn't moving any quicker.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. It's a crazy time to be alive. And it's great to have conversations like this, because, you know, it kind of just brings it back to baseline and just like, you know, like just, you know, because I think most people are just trapped in a hamster wheel of trying to get the next thing, and they just forget about what the present moment actually means. You know,
let's get back to having conversations. So where does the podcast come into play? We kind of got a little bit of your history here. When did you dive into the podcast? And feel free to slow me down if there's any other bridge points you want to talk about before you talk about starting University of Adversity. But yeah, is there any other bridge points that connects to that? And I obviously want to talk about your show, why you started it, so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I think that's, you know, after I lost my brother and my dad, it was, you know, I went on a bit of a, well, I lost my dad halfway through my year of sobriety. So it was almost a blessing, because I had a lot of personal work that I was doing. So it was almost like I was preparing myself, that I knew what was coming, which is crazy. So once I, you know, processed that, my dad passed, and, you know, went into 2018, I started to think about like, how can I actually make a difference here? Like, I love podcasting. I love sharing my story. I love learning from podcasts. And I just thought, what if I start one? You know, like, what if I, and you know, that was 3 years ago, 3 years, like we're reaching our third year anniversary here at the end of December. And at the time, I didn't really know, podcasting wasn't as big as it is now, and it's still going to get a lot bigger. It's still in the beginning. But I just had like an inner knowing that I had to do it. And the word adversity and all these things in my life, I was like, I need to have something where it's like, where I get to share my story and I get to have others share their story, and, you know, inspiration was what I needed, right? So that's what I had to give. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I hired some people to help me bring it together, and before you know it, it was going. And I don't know, even looking back, I'm like, wow, like there's certain things in my life, like I've always followed my intuition, and with my story, I've done a lot of crazy shit that people would be like, wow, that's nuts. It's just, I always listen to it. and including recently selling all my shit and moving to Mexico. There's a lot of things, and I always talk about intuition having a scale of 0 to 10. And I say that you're going to get a bunch of these, you know, ones or twos or threes or fours. And then once in a while, you'll get a 9 or a 10 out of 10. Those are the things you need to take action on. The 9s, 10s out of 10s are like those, like, hey, you got to do this. And if you don't do it, there's going to be something that's going to get in your way. And you're going to, I believe, something's going to come in your way to get in your face. Because if you don't hear the whisper will get louder and it'll get louder until it's like it punches you in the face. I believe that. And that's why I think acting on these 9s and 10s are so important. So to go back, the podcast was one of those. The podcast was right. Like, I have to do this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't give a shit about anything. This just needs to happen. And that was one of them. And I encourage anybody listening, if you have that scale of your intuition, if you can like resonate with that, you can really think about, what's 9 out of 10 out of 10 for me? Think about it. And you gotta take inspired action. You gotta write it down. You gotta say, this feels strong to me. I gotta do it. Because that's your truth. That's your intuition. And those are the things that really matter that you must do. And whatever it is, whether it's just writing it down or it's taking action, you need to do something that aligns with that. And the podcast was that. So my life aligned with that. Everything I did became that. And the podcast has completely created my entire life, my business. Everything that I'm doing came from that knowing. So that's a big thing for people, is that sometimes the thing that seems like crazy is probably the thing you need to do. And, you know, we can get into the podcast and what it's done, but that's how it started. And I just sort of leaned into it, and the rewards from I feel like the universe, God, whatever you believe, will reward you for listening to that, because it takes courage to do that. That, because logically it may seem nuts. Oh, there's too many of this. There's too many of that. It's impossible. This, and you hear that about anything, right? Anything you want to do, there's always going to be people saying that shit. So, yeah. So that's how it started.
Yeah, there's always going to be people saying shit behind your back, but you're listening to the knowing. She's coming to mind. Have you had Jamie Lee Kern Jamie Kern Lima on the show?
No.
The only reason I bring her up is I saw her speak at the Global Leadership Summit, and a big part of her speech was don't listen to the no as an N-O, listen to the knowing. And that her story was basically she's overweight, she has a skin condition, and she's starting a cosmetology line, and everyone's saying no one's going to want to buy your products, and no one's going to want to buy someone that looks like you. Now, this was a beautiful woman. She just happened to be a little overweight with like a skin condition. So she was creating cosmetics for that condition. She probably got 200 no's. She got rejected. She got insulted. Then she sells her company for $1 billion 5 years later. Wow. And it's because of what you were just saying, not listening to the N-O, but listening to the knowing inside of her, that she realized that she wasn't different than any of these other women that have these same struggles. And all these people on the high horse telling her that she's not good enough, they are the ones that were wrong. Because, I mean, she'd probably tell you she was probably at a 15 out of 10, right? Is there a way for me to know that I'm a 10 out of 10 conviction, 9 out of 10 on this? Is it something that just manifests in your body? Like, is this something that you've basically made a decision and acted on 5, 10, 20 times in your life? Or is it something that really is special and you need to listen to that knowing?
Well, I think we all have those, those gut feelings, right? And we all have those hunches, those like, I call them whispers. like this inner knowing. And most times, most people, what happens is you get that, and then immediately your ego will talk you out of it. Right? You have your heart, which is your truth, and then you have your ego, which is like what makes up who you are. And most times people will allow the stories of the past or some sort of fear projected from those stories that come from the past to stop them from doing the thing, because the thing is the unknown and they're used to the known.
Right.
So people are just addicted to the known stories. So immediately when it comes, if you don't act on it and you put energy into it, then you're just going to go to the default, which is the stories of your ego. And I think I've been able to have that feeling in my stomach, like this doesn't feel right. I'm not going to do it for a long time. And I think a lot of people have that, but they don't know it. They just ignore it because of like, oh, my mom or my dad or my Uncle Sam says not to do this, or it's, so we shut that up. We think that intuition that it's like, it's not real, but it actually is. So to answer your question, I think it's like a muscle. You condition. And I think that this is why it's also important. This is why like detoxing your body, like doing a fast, water fast, or doing cutting out the crap so that you can actually feel what is the true feeling. Because if you have alcohol and you have coffee and you have sugar, there's a lot of things going on where like you might not be actually feeling the truth. You might just be feeling different stimulants.
Right.
So I think if you get really good at feeling what it's like to be that pure channel where you're like journaling, you're meditating, eating super clean. And when you tap into that, you're able to go, oh, okay, I see. I have like a clear understanding. And then when you go out of it, then you can see the difference. So there's ways to get deeper into your intuition, and hugely is journaling. When you journal out, a lot of the first bit of journaling is just a lot of like a brain dump. And then is when you get into like the real stuff. And then sitting in meditation will help you really connect to that because you're able to observe thoughts. But I think everybody's at a different level. And I just think the more you've paid attention, the more times you've answered the call or answered that whisper, the better you get at it.
Right.
If you've ignored it your whole life, well, then it's just, you've ignored it. But what happens is as you start to answer that, then you start to get rewarded for things because you're in alignment. And then you start to go, oh, okay, I see what this is. And when I ignore it, what happens? I get something thrown at me that's something that's like, you know, like a major adversity or a challenge that you might have not had if you would have gone and answered that. So it's a lifelong journey honing in on it, but it's one of our greatest gifts that are us as humans that goes back, you know, thousands of years that humans have had. It's like our innate knowing, right? And I fully believe that. I'm a spiritual person. I used to think all this stuff was BS back in the day, but it's not, man. It's not. And your ability to tap into your truth and that inner voice is the fucking gift that just keeps on giving, man. If you know how to listen to it. But it's hard to listen to it unless you are able to quiet down the noise. And that's like what we're saying, right?
I love this. And for me and a lot of the listeners, it's a perfect time in our lives. I mean, a lot of people get into personal development or podcasting or anything like that, trying to figure out the how-tos. I mean, the how to win friends and influence people, quick steps to get out of anxiety and get out of trauma and then be more charming and make more money. And that only gets you so far, right? And it's mind-boggling for me to realize that I need to stop learning all the how-tos and all the answers are actually already within my body and my mind. I've just been too busy having sugar, watching TV, honestly listening to way too many podcasts, consuming so much that I'm losing touch with my knowing. And if I were to relax and listen to that a little bit better, I might have less blockages in my life, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's great awareness. I mean, I think we all do that. But like I said, it's funny you brought it up. It's another archetype that we talk about. My book is like, it's called The Distractor, or it's called The Fixer.
What's the name of your book again?
Mastering Adversity. So there's four archetypes we talk about through working through adversity. Number one is that we all fall into these. So it's victim, distractor, fixer, and warrior. We want to get to the warrior archetype and be in that behavior as much as possible. But what I do is I talk about these different things, and the fixer is like what you just said, is that person that's addicted to, not necessarily addicted, but is always seeking things outside of themselves and always looking for different answers, and always feels like they're broken, or always feels like they need to fix somebody. They're always going outside of themselves. They need more answers. I talk about this when it comes to psychedelics and plant medicine. People always want different answers to chase the different experiences. They want to read more books because they don't feel what they know is right. They read a whole book on sales, but they don't feel that's right. They're going to read another one. And that's part of the personal development thing, is like, they want you to always feel like you don't, like you're kind of broken in a way. Like, yes. We're not broken, man. Like, we just need to realize, like, hey, you know what? I think there's seasons. There's time to learn. There's time to absorb. There's time to apply. There's time to apply it, right? You can only consume so much before it's like, all right, what am I going to do? Let's go into action, right? And I feel like that's the problem, is that we get into this, I need to fix myself all the time. I need more information. It's like, well, no, you don't. You just need to apply it. So that's how it works, right? Like, a lot of it, I love personal development world, but there's a place where it's like, all right, what do we do now? Let's put it into action. Enough consuming. Let's apply it. Right.
I don't think it exists, but imagine a book exists that you were to read it one time and you would be equipped with every single answer to completely change your life and become enlightened. The moment someone reads that book, they're going to want to read part two. It's this constant need. Like you said, though, it's already within us. I'm wondering, where do you learn this stuff? When you are consuming, when you are looking for intellectual stimulation, obviously you've got hundreds of mentors from your podcast, but is there anyone specific that stands out as really just someone who moved the needle in your life?
I mean, one of my mentors, Aubrey Marcus, has helped me a lot. I was part of his fellowship mastermind for a year and a bit. And just from his podcast, and just, you know, I had the privilege of sitting with ayahuasca with him and his wife, Ilana. And I've had, he's somebody that I really admire and looked up to. And that is, I can really see who I desire to be and who I can be, because I could relate to him. Like, I'm not trying to be him, but I know that the person that he is somebody that I admire, and that it almost like gave me permission to be who I am, more of my truth, because a lot of what he does aligns with what I do. So it's about taking what he's done, creating my own version. But he was somebody that I really resonated with. His teachings, spiritual, his philosophy. And he's an athlete, and he's a dude. He's a, you know, there's a lot of things that I resonate with him about. So that would be probably one of the biggest, you know, something that I've learned a lot from. And, you know, listening to Joe Rogan over the years has helped a lot too. I mean, I've learned a lot from people on his show, and for him to facilitate that conversation, I think you could probably agree with me. He's helped put so many people on the map and help educate so many people. It's really incredible. So yeah, I mean, there's different people for different things, but as far as like helping me shift the needle from where I was to where I am now, I would have to say him, Aubrey.
I'm curious. So I know Aubrey Marcus. I think he's a total badass. I love that he's an athlete, but he's spiritual. He's cool. He's easygoing. A lot of spiritual teachers are kind of high in the sky with their language, and he's very easy to understand. If anyone doesn't know Aubrey Marcus, go listen to his podcast. Go check him out. I'm curious, and anyone who knows Aubrey or has heard Aubrey is curious, how in alignment is he? As someone who has spent close time with him, what he teaches is his truth, right? Is he consistent? Is he the same man outside of that podcast as he is on that podcast?
Yeah, he's human, man. He shares it all, and that's what I really admire. He's got his own darkness that he works through, you know, and he's about as transparent as a person can be. And so is Vailana. Vailana is one of the most, you know, transparent, beautiful souls. And I think together they're a magical couple. And yeah, they are. Like I've spent time with them and they're just great. And yeah, Aubrey's human, man. He goes through a lot of his own shit too, you know, and he's the first one to talk about it. And, you know, I've just admired learning from him. You know, from the calls over the last years and just like spending time. And yeah, he's as close to as like real as you can get, you know?
That's what I like to hear. I assumed that, and I know I should never make assumptions, but I think it's important for people to hear that, you know, a gentleman operating at a very high level, mentoring tens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of people, he is in alignment. He's just a real guy. He's just an ordinary guy as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I also have to remember, like, I think sometimes, okay, when you see someone like that on a podcast, mm-hmm. you think that they're just going to like be able to just talk to everybody and just be like Mr. Nice Guy. Like it's like, you got to put yourself in those, you know?
Yeah.
So when I first met him, you know, he's a little bit more reserved than he, you know, because he's got to be. Mm-hmm. You got to guard your energy a little bit when you got hundreds of people coming up to you, like, you know what I mean? So
100%.
But once I got into like a smaller space and started, like, he's, yeah, that's, but you know, I've heard people at times, oh, he's not as like right on the top friendly. It's like, but how is he supposed to be? Like, he's got a guard, like, you know, what is he supposed to do? People don't realize that now when you're a well-known name like that, and for anybody, not just him. Mm-hmm. It's like, you gotta like, you, they don't know who you are. You know who they are.
Right.
But like, even Joe Rogan talks about this. You don't know who the hell they are. And they're coming up to you and talking to you. It's like, what the hell, man? They're still human.
They know your wife's name. They know about your family. They know about your ex relationships. They know everything about you.
They don't give you space. They just assume that you're just going to be this open book that's just going to open up to them. It's not how it works.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta like be a respectful human, and it's not, you know, so, but yeah, you know, most of these people are what they're like. I mean, some of them are full of shit out there, but the people that I've surrounded myself, man, they're usually pretty close to what they are.
So I love that we're diving deep and basically just talking about whatever comes up. This might be in the future, but we'll do a round two because we didn't even get into the half of the topics we could talk about. I had one major question I did want to ask you, and that's when you had that aha moment. Like, you followed your knowing. You had this intuition. I'm going to start a podcast. I know what I'm going to talk about. I have this gift. I have this will. I'm going to get it done. But at what moment did it kind of come to fruition that you had made, you know, the right decision, that you were on the right track, that you were actually impacting people? Tell us maybe a little bit about the trajectory there. But a lot of people quit after 7 or 8 episodes. So to do 300 plus and go on, man.
Like I say to people, like, I mean, I have a podcast agency production company, and I say to people, I say, like, before you do anything, get clear on your why, you know, like really, like you're starting a business, like you're starting anything. You got to get super, super clear on, you know, why you're doing it, who's it for, where are you sending them? You know, what's the show about? Like really get clear on those things. But the most important is the why. And my why was very clear in the beginning, but the rest of it wasn't. I was super connected to like making a difference in the world. And I guess to answer your question, when things started to happen was like all of a sudden people were like, oh, I got to send you this. And I was getting introduced to like really big names. And I was like, wow. Oh, this is crazy. You know, like getting sent Jack Canfield like through an email. I didn't even pitch him. He just got sent to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay. I see what's going on here. And things just flowed, man, you know? And I think from so many years working in the bar industry that I got so used to being able to connect with somebody at the drop of a hat, break through barriers to be able to have people open up, that I was able to leave an impact with people. So they wanted to introduce me to people. And it was just, I think it's one of the things that has come natural to me from a lot of honing in working in the bar industry was podcasting. I was able to have, I'm able to have conversations with people. And I think that was just a blessing. It was just something that I was following one of my gifts. You know, I never had a lot of God-given gifts, really. I had to work for a lot of different things. But when it comes to like having a deep, meaningful conversation and having somebody open up fast, I was able to do that. And people usually felt, you know, like it was a good conversation, and you know, they would send me people. So that's when I felt like this is going well. And you know, we got ranked pretty high early and getting featured in some publications, and yeah, man, it all just kind of happened. And I kind of knew that what I was doing was right.
What I hear though is you're aligned with your why, you're aligned with your purpose, you had the conviction to make it work, and it fell into place. I mean, it's not that simple, but it is kind of that simple, right?
Yes.
I'm wondering, you don't have to give me 3, 5, 10 year trajectory. You could give me a 1 week trajectory. What are you excited about? What are you looking to accomplish? What's next in Lance's life?
Well, it's a bold statement, a bold claim, but my goal is to create a New York Times bestselling book with Mastering Adversity. You know, we've did a massive crowdfunding campaign. I got a lot of good resources backing me, a lot of things that are aligned with that. And that is a big goal of mine. I'm not attached. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, but I'm really determined to make it happen. And that's something that means a lot because I'm putting my heart and soul into this book. And really, I think that it's going to help people move through their shit in their life. And that's a big goal, man. And you know, there's a few of them, but that's the main one that I'm really passionate about. And you know, that comes out late spring, probably in May. So yeah.
Perfect, because this won't come out next week. It'll come out late January, maybe early February. I'll make it. Is there a pre-order link? Can you set that up for us?
We can. So we initially had pre-orders for the crowdfunding, but we won't have those until the book is done. So
got it.
I'll have to keep you posted. The book should be end of January, but I'm not too sure. I still have the final renditions of the edits. So I'm working on those right now. So I'm hoping to get those in by the end of January.
Well, listen, the first three people to DM me saying, Ben, I don't have the money, but I want Lance's book, I'll purchase those first three copies. The rest, you guys ultimately go spend the freaking change to get the book. Listen to the podcast. It's free. How do people keep in touch with you? What's your hub? Where should we go?
I appreciate that, brother. Just go to my Instagram, lance.ecos. It's all there. You know, the old link in the bio. It's got everything you need to start there. Just go to the Instagram, follow me there. Podcast is there. You know, there's all the information, everything I'm doing is there. Keep it super simple. To the website, everywhere. And University of Adversity Podcast. You can find it there.
What should someone expect? I mean, I'm sure they already have a gist, but they go, they subscribe to University of University of Adversity. What should they expect? What's living in that RSS feed?
They can expect to walk away with the tools, tips, and resources to help them move through adversity in their life. Simple. From New York Times bestselling authors, pro athletes, celebrities, spiritual masters, and you know, the common heroes among us. There's going to be an expert. There's going to be a story. There's going to be something that you could take and apply in your life that will help you make the first step. And that's the goal.
Making that first step. Lance, man, this has been fun. This has been chill. I've got a lot of shit I need to clean up. Thanks for reminding me to go inward first and clean up some of that shit, because we all have it, right?
Yeah, that's the good thing, though. It's not a thing to be shameful of. We all have it. But the awareness of it is the number one step first. And then once you're aware of it, then you can start to move through what you need to, right? And get aligned with it and all of this stuff, so. It's good just to be aware, but don't feel shame around it.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, Lance. It's been great. Again, first three books, they're on me. But aside from it, go subscribe to Lance's show. Scroll down, look for a topic, look for a guest that you believe you'll resonate with, and I'm sure he won't let you down. So thanks again, Lance. It's been a lot
of fun. Thanks, man. I appreciate you, bro.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.